home as well. If you are back in the family room and drinking coffee and having a chat with a friend that you haven't seen in a while, I really appreciate how important that is, and I encourage you to continue that after the service. If you'd come on up and join us as we worship, we would appreciate it.
Us in thy blood, made us kings and priests to God. Take this tribute of the poor, lest we can't give more. Souls redeemed, your voices raised, sing your dear Redeemer's praise. Worthy thou of love and laud, King of saints incarnate. Sinners reign in this one request agree. Spirit, make us more like thee. Souls redeemed, our voices raised, sing your dear Redeemer's praise. Worthy thou of love and love, King of saints incarnate God. Souls redeemed, your voices raised, sing your dear Redeemer's.
Good morning. Would you please stand for our call to worship? From Psalm chapter 86, verses 8 through 13. Here is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol.
pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can come together and be here as your church in this place. Lord, we thank you for your amazing love to us. It is not deserved by us, but you give it freely to us. And that is why we're here. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to die on the cross for us, to cleanse us of our sins and to make us whole. Lord, there are many things in our lives that are happening, many events in the world that are troubling. There are struggles that we have in relationships. There are things that are in our own lives that we need to confess to you. And so as is our custom here, in a moment of silent prayer for each of us, we offer these things to you. Lord, again, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who cleanses us of our sins, makes things right, puts us before you righteous, and gives us hope eternal. Help us to worship as one body in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Second scripture is Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Savior is here.
Father God, we thank you for the beauty of little ones that are precious to you, and thank you that that they can come here to feel your love and inspire joy. Father, we thank you for the words of the song that we just sung, that whatever our struggle, we're not alone. If we feel dark or alone or confused or broken things around us or temptation or pain, whatever it is, I pray that you would help us to put away our unbelief, because every word in your scripture is true. And thank you for that. And Father, I ask that you would be with Tom as he brings us your word this week. Would you quiet our minds and open our hearts and be with the important people as they go to Hope for Kids. And thank you for the time that their teachers put in to bring them more of your truth and love this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Let's try it again. Buenos dias. Excellent, excellent. Good, good. That's hello. Now you need to say, ¿Cómo estás? ¿Estoy bien? Right? Give that a shot. That's. How are you doing? You know, I'm doing well. Are you doing well? Are you doing well? Are you doing well? Good, good. I'm just. My name is Darden Kaler. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope Church, and I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what goes on at Hope Church, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week, because being a Christian is not just about coming to worship on Sundays, but it's about how we get together, what we do throughout the community, and all those things each and every week. And so we talk about those things every Sunday in worship because it's important, right? So I've got a couple of announcements I want to make for you all. First and foremost, if you are visiting with us this morning, there's a little response card in there, or if you have a prayer request and want the elders to pray for you, you can write it on here and drop it in that bucket at the back. And we would love to hear what is going on in your life. If you need prayers, we'd love to pray for you. And if you're just visiting, we just like to know that you're here. So welcome if you are. Also, we got Blueprint Ministries coming up. That is a missions trip for the youth group or any adults that want to. I mean, there's been a lot of adults go, right? So any adults that want to participate or chaperone. So if you're interested in chaperoning, which I don't know requires you to totally chaperone, like there's usually as many adults as there are youth, so it's pretty easy to chaperone. But still, if you're interested in going, contact Christy Leroy. She has all the information about that. Nursery Playgroup meets April 10th, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 here at the church. If you have any questions about that, you can contact Jen Townsend. On April 13th at 8 a.m., we are meeting at First Baptist Church Lockhart. If you don't know about First Baptist Church Lockhart, we have a relationship with them, and we like to help them out with some things. They've got some building issues that we've been working on for, well, it'll almost be a year here shortly. we've been adding new siding to their fellowship hall and helping them put on siding. So if you are interested and capable, interested and capable, here are those two things. If you're interested and capable, contact, I think Mike Mitchell is, nope. Lars is in charge of that, and he's way at the back, and he's shaking his hand in the air like he just doesn't care. And let me see, fourth announcement is congregational meeting coming up April 14th. That's going to be a busy weekend. Congregational meeting coming up April 14th after the service. You can contact any elder, so myself or Tom or John or Scott or Joe, any one of us. Did I miss anybody? Mark, I miss Mark. I apologize, Mark. And last but not least, there should be some pictures popping up here shortly. The ladies group went and did a really cool evening the other night. They went axe throwing. And so if you're interested in getting out some extra aggression or whatever it might be, and you're a lady and you would like to participate in that, you can see Pebby about that. I promise you not all of their usually they do Bible studies, but not all of their fun activities could potentially cause bodily harm or death. You don't have to be worried about that. If that kind of thing is, you know, next week is not skydiving or anything crazy like that. But do join them, because they do have a lot of fun at these events, and I'm sure that they will be doing it again shortly. With that, I'll invite Tom forward. Do you need me for?
Sure. Whose idea was it to give women axes? I don't like this is, I'm not comfortable. Yeah. I believe you. Welcome to Hope. I'm Pastor Tom, and glad to have you here as we worship God together here today. I think the place to begin, we're going to have some new members of our youth group come forward and join the church today. Frank and Jonna, if y'all want to come forward, Gene and Lee, come on down. Yeah, you heard me. I see you the way God sees you, Gene. Can you come up here? All right. Yes, ma'am. Front and center. My mother has to see you. She's on Zoom.
Oh, yes.
So come on up, sir. Welcome. You're the next contestants. Good, good. So Frank and Jonna and Huey and Lee and Gene have been coming to Hope for a little while, and there's something wrong with them because they've decided to actually join the church, and I'm not sure, but we're glad. We're glad. So I have some questions for y'all, and then Huey is going to be presented for baptism today. But the visible church, this is what we are part of on this earth. There's a greater church that includes all of the souls for whom Christ has died to redeem them, and that is a beautiful eternal chorus. We have just a representation of that here on earth, and that's what we do. As we gather in his name, we assemble, we state our allegiance to Christ and his allegiance to us, and that makes us part of his church here on earth. And to that end, you have come to present yourselves as members of Hope. As broken as we are thrilled to have you as a part of our family. And so I have these questions for you as you approach membership at Hope. Do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God and without hope for your salvation except in his sovereign mercy? Do you? All right. And do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of sinners? And do you receive and depend upon him alone for your salvation as he is offered in the Gospels? Amen. All right. Just checking. Do you now promise and resolve in humble reliance upon the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as become followers of Jesus Christ? Very good. And do you promise to serve Christ in his church by supporting and participating in the life of Hope Church in its service to God and its ministry to others according to the best of your God-given abilities? Very good. Do you submit yourselves to the government and discipline of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church and to the spiritual oversight of this church session? And do you promise to promote the unity, purity, and peace of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ? Very good. Inasmuch as you have made these professions or reaffirmations of your faith, and you two will be joining by transfer of letter, that doesn't happen very often around here. So Lee and Gene were members of a church in Florida, and their membership will be transferred to Hope by letter.
After 20 years,
it'll finally get to where it belongs.
Right.
Yes. All right. Just to be fair, you haven't been at Hope for 20 years. Well, you have in many ways, but in your heart has been here, but you've physically been residing in Florida, and you decided to leave God's waiting room and come to Texas. Yeah, good. So far as you have made these professions of faith and have been approved by our church session for active membership, I declare you all entitled to the privileges of membership in this congregation and the full fellowship of our church, as well as having the duties and responsibilities incumbent upon those who profess Christ and seek to worship God by service to him and ministry to others. Will you please welcome your newest members? The right hand of fellowship, sir.
Thank you.
Welcome. Blessings.
Thank you.
Good to have y'all. And if you would like, you may return to your seats. We have one more item of business to take care of up front here. Watch out for the coloring book.
Sorry.
It's okay. We love kids, so you don't have to apologize. All right. Frank and Jonna, you have come to present Huey for baptism this morning. And I have some questions for you as you approach this second of our sacraments, or maybe it's the first, actually. But we believe that sacraments, baptism and communion, are holy signs and seals of God's covenant of grace, and that they represent Christ and all of his blessings. Baptism is a sacrament because it is ordained by Christ in the New Testament. He tells us to do this as his followers. He wants his children to be marked by the sign of water. It's a representation of what his blood does for us spiritually. And so we do this as a part of membership, this seal of the covenant of grace for believers and their children. We believe that in the Old Testament, the sign and the seal of the covenant was circumcision. It was applied to babies. And so it's perfectly fitting to take that same sign and seal that is in the New Testament and apply it to our babies, because it's a beautiful symbol of the way God's love works. It's inclusive in families. It covers generations. And so this symbol indicates our engrafting into Christ, our rebirth as believers in him, the remission of our sins and our ability by the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in newness of life. It is the duty of those who present their children for baptism to answer the following questions. All right, you've already answered some of these, but do you acknowledge Huey's need for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit? And do you claim God's covenant promises and benefits for him? And by faith, do you look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your child as you do yourselves? Okay. And do you now unreservedly dedicate Huey to God? And do you promise by relying on God's power and grace through the Holy Spirit to live exemplary lives before him? Beautiful. Do you commit yourselves to pray with and for him and to teach him the scriptures and the great articles of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? Beautiful. And do you promise to use every means provided by God, including faithful participation in the life of your church, to bring him up in the loving discipline of the Lord? All right. And so one cool thing about baptism in our context. It's okay. We love kids. We love them. Oh, well. So one cool thing about our tradition is that instead of having just one set of godparents for your child upon their baptism, you get the whole church. And so we join with you in this commitment to raise him in love and grace in the light of Jesus Christ and all that that means. And so I have these questions for the congregation. This is for you. Do you, the members of Hope Church, and acting for yourselves and on behalf of the whole body of Christ, assume responsibility with these parents for Huey's spiritual nurture? Do you? Amen. And do you commit yourselves to set godly examples before him and to provide, as far as you are able, all that is necessary that Huey may one day confess Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord? Do you? Amen. All right. Come hither. All right. I'm going to say a prayer and then make sure I don't get this out of order. I don't want to get fired. Can you hold that? Let's just set that down. We're going to do it this way. All right. Father God, we ask that you set aside this water from its common use and use it now to represent the washing of the blood of your Son over our souls, the cleansing of our sins, the spiritual renewal that takes place as being a part of your family. We pray for Huey, your blessings over him, his family, and all who love and know him. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and lead him to grow every day into the man of God that you have created him to become. We pray your blessing over him and this time of baptism in your holy name. Amen. All right. I want to get closer so you can see. No, we want to see water dripping everywhere. Huey Puentes, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good job, buddy. Good job. Yeah. You got a smile? Yeah. There we go. All right. Would you welcome your newest member? Good job. Give me five. There you go. All right. May God bless you. Yeah. That was awesome. Good, good, good. And now, if I can have the rest of the important people come down to the front. If you are in fifth grade or younger, we invite you down for our children's chat at this time. Good morning. How are y'all doing? Doing okay? Okay. So, let's see. Is that a dragon? Uh-huh. That's cute. I didn't know dragons could be so cute. Does it have a name?
Luna.
What?
I said Luna.
Luna? Okay. All right. Okay. So, have you ever heard of a guy named Peter in the Bible? No? Never heard of Peter? He was one of Jesus' followers, so he knew Jesus personally. He was one of the 12 disciples, one of the 12 apostles, and Peter was a fisherman. He was kind of a tough guy, right? And Peter, one day, gave a sermon. You know what a sermon is? No, it's when the pastor opens the Bible and talks about what it means, okay? And so Peter opened his Bible, and he talked about what it meant, and 3,000 people came to understand God's love through Jesus Christ at one time. It's a big deal. Like 3,000, that's a lot. Can you count that high? That's pretty high. All right. And after these people heard the sermon, the Bible says they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, let's talk about that. What does it mean to repent? You ever done anything bad?
Is it like repetitive?
It's like, for me, it is repetitive, yes. Because I make a lot of mistakes. So, when you do something bad, what do you have to do? You have to apologize. You have to have an open heart. What?
You have to regret it.
You have to regret it. Yes. That's the first step. Has your mother ever made you apologize and you didn't really regret it? Yeah, I've done that. I've done that. I get you. Yeah, I feel you. So, you have to regret what you did, which means you have to admit that what you did was not good, right? And so that's part of what repentance is, but repentance isn't just the feeling, it's the actions that come out of that feeling that you did something wrong. You want to make things right, okay? And so Peter says that we're to repent, we're to feel bad, that's step one, and then act on that feeling to make things right, and that we are to be baptized or washed. Did you see Huey get baptized this morning? Yeah, it represents the fact that Jesus, his blood, washes us of our sin. We have forgiveness because of what Christ did for us, right? So we repent and we return to our baptism, that place where we are forgiven. And we do this in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And then the Bible says we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you know God gave you a gift? Where does that Holy Spirit live?
In your heart.
In your heart. So everywhere you go, God is with you to remind you that he loves you, and that his strength is inside of you. So if you're scared, what can you do? You can think about God. You can pray. You can say, God, I know you live inside me. Help me not to be scared, right? Because he loves you and he's with you all the time, right? That's pretty cool. So God gave you his son to give you forgiveness, and he gives you your Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit as a gift to live inside you and give you strength and direction and insight and all kinds of blessings because God loves you. There you go. I'm going to take a high five for that. Good job. God loves you forever. Can I pray for you guys? All right. Dear God, thank you for the gift of children, for the blessing that these beautiful young souls are to our lives and to our church. We pray your blessing over them as they study more of your word and hope for kids. Fill them with your Holy Spirit and lead them into a deeper understanding of how much you love them. We pray your blessing over them. In Jesus' name, and their teachers. Amen. Y'all have a blast. All right. ¿Dónde está Miguel? Vente, por favor. Oh, mejor, ven usted, pastor. Es difícil cuando hemos sido amigos por casi 20 años y hablar con respeto y todo eso porque somos amigos.
Claro.
Okay. I told him to come up here like you would tell a kid, like, hey, get up here, right? And then I remember, like, Spanish is actually, in this context, has a formal component that I should be respectful of, and I was just telling him, like, it's hard to do the respectful thing when you've been friends with somebody for 20 years. No soy muy bueno para el respeto, pero te respeto. Igual, sí, claro. So we're going to read the passages that we're going to be studying this morning. I'm going to read them in English. And I'm going to do you the favor of letting Miguel read them in Spanish. And what we're trying to do is just allow everyone in the room to hear God's word in their native tongue. And if your native tongue is not English or Spanish, well, get up here with your Bible and let's go, okay? We're taking up this week the person of Peter in your New Testament. We looked last week on Easter Sunday at the reset of the cross. Do you remember your old computers? And they would get all choked up and you had to do Control-Alt-Delete to break the cycle of it and it would reset the computer. And so we're using that as kind of our metaphor for this series. We're looking at some of the big resets in Scripture. We started with the cross last week and now we're moving to Peter, Pedro. Just to remind you of the context. We're going to be working out of the Gospel of John and the book of Acts. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus is trying to prepare his followers for what's coming, that he's about to be captured and tortured and crucified and laid in a tomb. But not to worry, he's going to rise again on the third day. And this is all by the power of God, not by the power of man. And so as he's trying to set the stage for this, he basically says, y'all can't come with me where I'm going. And Peter's like, I'll go with you anywhere. I'll die for you. And Jesus basically says, yes, you actually will die for me one day. But for now, you need to understand, before this night is over, before the sunrise tomorrow, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times, strong boy. And so Peter, after just saying, I will die for you, in John 13:38, we see these words. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Peter had no idea what those words meant at the time. He could not receive them. He would later deny Jesus three times. Once in the presence of a young female, an adolescent female, who said, "Weren't you among them?" And he's like, "No, no, 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 no." It's like, so he's afraid of a little girl, the one who said, "I will die for you. I, you know, in my strength, I will go all the way for you." And he kind of breaks down in front of a young female, and then the rooster crows, and he realizes what Jesus had said just the night before and what it meant, and he's living in this puddle of shame as he witnesses the crucifixion, the resurrection, all of it. He still is under this cloud of shame for what he's done, and we pick up in John chapter 21, and I just want to emphasize, as Peter says these words, he's going to say, "I'm going fishing." It's not like when I say I'm going fishing. I say I'm going fishing and I'm coming back. Like I'm just going for the afternoon maybe, or for a weekend, or, you know, let's go to Chile and go for a week or two. I'd like that. So let's go fishing, right? I mean, I'm doing this for recreation. When Peter says I'm going fishing, it means I'm done with ministry. I'm done with this Jesus thing, and I'm going back to what I know. I'm returning to my job. I'm returning to my vocation as a fisherman to make money and survive in this world. And so when you hear those words, you need to hear them as a complete emptiness and desperation. He's done. He's wiped out. He's ashamed of himself. And he says in John chapter 21, beginning in verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of God, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And what I hope you notice in these verses is the intentionality of Jesus in his approach to Peter. Peter denied him three times. Peter gives him three chances to affirm his love for him. It's sort of a complete undoing of Peter's shame. And then we're going to fast forward to the day of Pentecost. This is 50 days after the crucifixion, or after Passover. It's a Jewish holiday in Jerusalem. There's people from all over the known world have gathered there. And Peter gets up and gives a sermon. And he cites what to him was the Bible. We call it the Old Testament. He cites several passages in his message. And he's telling all these people who've gathered for this festival that Jesus is the Messiah. And we pick up there after he's basically articulated the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. And we get this in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and following. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Miguel, nos lleva en español por los pasajes. Gracias. Oh, necesitas un micrófono. Okay, alto.
Jesús le respondió, "Tu vida darás por mí. En en verdad te digo, no cantará el gallo sin que antes me hayas negado tres veces. Simón Pedro les dijo, me voy a pescar. Entonces, cuando habían acabado de desayunar, Jesús dijo a Simón, Pedro, Simón, hijo de Juan, ¿me amas más que estos? Pedro le dijo, sí, Señor, tú sabes que te quiero. Jesús le dijo, apacienta mis corderos. Y volvió a decirle por segunda vez, Simón, hijo de Juan, ¿me amas? Pedro le dijo, sí, Señor, tú sabes que te quiero. Jesús le dijo, pastorea mis ovejas. Le dijo por tercera vez, Simón, hijo de Juan, ¿me quieres? Pedro se entristeció porque la tercera vez le dijo, ¿me quieres? Y le respondió, Señor, tú lo sabes todo. Tú sabes que te quiero. Jesús le dijo, apacienta mis ovejas. ¿Leo Hechos también?
Sí, por favor.
Al oír esto, compungidos de corazón, y Pedro les dijo, arrepentíos y sed bautizados cada uno de vosotros en el nombre de Jesucristo para perdón de vuestros pecados y recibiréis el don del Espíritu Santo. Porque la promesa es para vosotros y para vuestros hijos y para todos los que están lejos, para tanto como los que el Señor nuestro Dios llame. Y con muchas otras palabras testificaba solemnemente y les exhortaba diciendo, sed salvo de esta perversa generación. Entonces los que habían recibido su palabra fueron bautizados y se añadieron aquel día 3,000 personas. Qué locura ser pastor de 3,000 personas.
Sí, una locura. Y que Dios usó un hombre quien negó a él tres veces a convertir 3,000.
La gracia.
La pura gracia, sí. Pero ojalá que Él no nos usa por ganar 3,000.
Sí, 8,000, pero después fueron 5,000 más.
He was just saying, what an insanity to have 3,000 people added to your church in one day. It's like, no, thank you. Well, five is good. Five is, we'll take a nice steady pace. Thank you, Pastor Miguel. Yeah, what a transformation, right? The guy that walks away from the sound of that rooster in complete dejection and shame, and just a few weeks later gives the first sermon in Christian history after the resurrection, and 3,000 people not only hear it, but are cut to the heart, and their lives are changed. They get to step into the great reset of the cross, to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be loved and at peace with their Creator for the first time in their lives. And God used Peter, this guy, this broken mess. If you don't know much about Peter, he was probably a big guy. We have a couple of descriptions of him. Like when they go to the tomb on the day of the resurrection, John tells us he beat Peter there, right? Because Peter was a big, clumbering dude. He was a fisherman. He had dirt under his fingernails. He was gritty. He was a country boy. And he probably was not the most articulate person on earth. And yet, Jesus comes to him in a resurrected state, not long after the resurrection, and he comes to him on the side of that lake. Peter's out fishing, and they realize that it's Jesus, and Peter throws himself, they're in shallow water, but he throws himself overboard. And what they're trying to do, back then they would fish with nets, and they would have rigging set up on one side of their boat that would hold the nets while they pulled them in. And they're in shallow water, so they're trying to find where they can see fish, and they're going to throw the nets over the fish and then pull them in using the structure of the boat that's set up for this. And so these boats are rigged to fish out of one side. And Jesus walks up to the shore and he says, "How's it going?" They're like, "A little bit slow." He's like, "Throw your nets over the other side." And so they're maybe in 3 or 4 feet of water. And the boat is not set up to throw your net the other way. And so they're like, "Okay, freak man." And they throw the net over the other side. And then it's so full of fish, they have to like drag it ashore. And that's when they realize that's Jesus. And Peter throws himself into the water and goes running over and reunites, and they're cooking over a fire. They're cooking some of the fish. And one of my favorite parts of that whole story, somebody counted the fish. That's my kind of man. Yeah. They counted how many fish were on their stringer. And I just want to know, were they bass or catfish? What are we dealing with here? It's like, you know. So there they are around the campfire eating. I know it sounds weird to us to eat fish for breakfast. People do it all over the world. But they're eating fish for breakfast. And Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?" 3 times. And Peter does not at first realize what's happening. He's a little thrown by the question being repeated the 3rd time. And the Bible says he got angry. He was a little frustrated. Again, he's a gritty dude. He's you know, a little frustrated at this point. And then it must dawn on him at some point later, "Oh, I denied him 3 times, and he made me affirm my love for him 3 times. Wow." And Peter gets this beautiful and very personal reset. You know, control, alt, delete, all his shame is erased in this few keystrokes, if you will. And there he stands before his Savior, not just forgiven, but redeemed and restored and renewed. And then, as I said, a few weeks later, Jesus tells them, "I'm going to ascend to the Father, and I'm going to leave the church and the spread of the God's love on this earth in your hands." And Peter had to be going, "I don't think that's a good idea," right? And I still agree with that, by the way. God has terrible judgment in putting his grace in our hands, right? At least it feels that way. But he wants his love to spread through us. It's the only way it works, is when one human soul is reset and extends that grace to another. That's the only way God allows his grace to spread. It's through us. And so as poor as his judgment may be, we're stuck with him. And he's stuck with us, I guess. And here we are, stumbling through this thing we call faith together. And Peter, just a few weeks after, well, the day that Jesus ascends, there's all these people gathered in Jerusalem. The disciples are there. And something begins to happen. They begin to speak in the native languages of people from all over the known world. And Luke, the author of the book of Acts, actually records in there like there were people from Africa and Europe and Asia and all these specific places with their own distinct languages. And these 12 rednecks from Galilee are speaking in multiple languages fluently. And no one can understand what's going on. And Peter then stands up and says, "Let me explain what's happening. The Holy Spirit is moving because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And then he came out of the grave on the 3rd day. He rose again. And he has ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And he is our Messiah. And God uses that broken, ashamed man to bring in the first netful of fish. And one of those fishermen counted them, right? They ballparked this one, but the fish in the net, they had a very specific, like 153 or something. Anybody remember? It's like 153. And I'm like, I read that and I'm like, yes. But this one they ballparked. And they said about 3,000 souls came to understand God's love through Jesus Christ that day. So let's try to understand what God is saying to us through the life, the ministry, the reset of Peter. I think the first message here is that we are to understand the limits of human resolve. This is one more reason I do not make New Year's resolutions. Why bother? Right? We have this ability to convince ourselves of things that aren't really there. And God wants us to be in touch with this. And look, it's fine to have human resolve when operating in the human realm. It's fine. You need it at work. You need it at school. You may need it at home. You need some resolve just to get through a day, right? No problem there. You can always convince some of the people, some of the time, that you've got your stuff together, right? That's what we do every day when we go to work, or maybe not at home, not right now, maybe later. But you can convince some of the people, some of the time. And a very wise friend of mine once said, and one of you was probably there when he said it, if you want to succeed in life, do stuff. You got to do stuff, right? You got to bring together some resolve and do some things that move the goal forward. You got to set goals. You got to be reliable. These are all important life skills in the human realm, in this thing we call the world out there. Nothing wrong with any of that. But if you're talking about God's economy, the spiritual realm, this place where we find grace and forgiveness and redemption, it's worthless. Our human resolve, the Lord, I will die for you, right? That's what Peter said the night before he denied him three times. Our human resolve, its only value is to bring us to the end of ourselves spiritually. In the spiritual realm, that human resolve only gets us to the end of ourselves. However, it is there that God does his best work. When we are empty, when we are done. So, Peter says, I will die for you, Lord. Was Jesus impressed? Not really. He wasn't even in the slightest bit impressed. He saw it for what it was, and he gave Peter this very painful reminder that his human resolve was not worth very much in God's eyes. God was not impressed, but he does his best work out of our weakness. And you see this as Jesus moves towards Peter on the shore of that lake and says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter gets increasingly frustrated before he eventually realizes, oh, he's dealing out grace. And it works on a completely different scale and system than human resolve. So I think God wants us to understand the limits of our own resolve. Perfectly fine out there in the world, in the human realm, not worth a cent in the spiritual realm. Our resolve is not what redeems us. It's not what restores us. It's not what resets us. It doesn't come from here or here or anywhere else in the human sphere. what we need comes from God. Quite simply put, we are to embrace God's limitless grace. Our human resolve has its limits. God's grace has none. It is eternal. It is infinite. It is more than enough. And I'll say it this way. His grace usually begins right at about the point where we give up, where we run out of gas, run out of ideas, run out of strength, run out of energy. We're exasperated, we're broken, we're ashamed, whatever you want to put in that blank. That's where God's grace usually begins. His grace is for the shattered. Can you imagine how Peter felt when that rooster crowed? Oh, I just finished telling him last night that I would stick with him through thick and thin. I would die for him. And now I've denied him 3 times. And he totally called it. He knew this was coming. What does that mean? Peter was shattered. And he had, in many respects, at least in his own mind, forfeited his position as one of the 12 by denying Jesus 3 times in one night. For him, it was over. He was returning to his previous profession. He was going to go fish. A very, very different I'm going fishing than what I mean when I say that. Peter was done. He was shattered, he was broken, he was giving up. And he teaches us that God's grace is for the shattered and for the undeserving. Peter had disqualified himself, and he knew it. But God's grace usually begins about where we end. And God's grace is all about love. Jesus comes to Peter on that shoreline and reminds him of the central ingredient in their relationship. He actually uses 2 different words for love in the exchange between them. One of them is the unconditional love, and the third one was actually brotherly love. Like, do you love me like a brother? Like, so do you love me unconditionally? Yes. Do you love me unconditionally? Yes. Do you love me as a brother? Oy vey. Like, stop. I get it. Yes. Don't you know all things? You know I love you. And Jesus is in effect saying, yeah, I know, but do you? Do you know that I love you? Do you know that you love me? Do you know that this relationship is not over? I'm not going to let your brokenness be the defining attribute of my relationship with you. I love you, and I'm calling you to love me as a brother unconditionally, because that's what love does. And so Peter learns that God's grace is for the one who's been restored. I think I worded that wrong. From the one who has restored you, for the ones he has redeemed. That the first component of being a child of God is love. It's his love for you. It's your love for him. But it starts with him, where we end. And that's the reset, the renewal, the re-beginning of our relationship with God. It's love. It's based on love. And so Jesus effectively says, Peter, you're going to be a pastor, which is the same word as shepherd, of my people. So if you're going to do that, there's one thing you need to get straight. Do you love me unconditionally? Yes, Lord. Do you love me unconditionally? Yes. Do you love me as a brother? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And there it is. If we're going to love God's people, we have to be tapped in to that eternal source of strength and grace and renewal, the love of God through Jesus Christ. His love comes first. So we understand our own limits. We embrace God's limitless grace, and we walk in God's limitless power. That is, we do what the people that Peter preached to. We take that trajectory. We're cut to the heart. We accept the promise of the Messiah. We see that God has been at work for millennia, weaving the course of history into one simple act of sacrifice, that we might find forgiveness and grace that last forever. If you think of all the things that our human resolve accomplishes for us in this human realm, they will all pass away. These are all temporary things that we can achieve in this world. They're not good or bad in and of themselves. They're just what they are, but they are limited. And Peter learns and preaches in his first sermon that we have the limitless power of God at our disposal through Christ. We are to accept the promise of his Messiah. To reconsider is literally what the word repent means in the original language there. It means to rethink, reconsider, reevaluate. We look at ourselves differently and we are washed. That's what the word baptism literally means. It's just the Greek word for wash. And so we accept this promise that God sent his Son to help us to, or cause us to reconsider who we are, to get to the end of our human resolve and come to the foot of his cross, to find their eternal grace and forgiveness, peace with God, and to be washed of our sins, and then to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the great mystery of our faith, that God, the infinite being who created everything, loves you so much. He wants to inhabit that central space in your life, your heart. He is going to take up residence within you. Why on earth would God want to live here? I mean, the ways I treat my body, right? And he says, no, I love you. And I want to go through life with you. And I want to place inside of you a source of strength and power and grace and renewal that never ends. So when you come to the end of your human resolve, you have something far greater within you. You are a child of God, created in his image, redeemed by the blood of his Son, and inhabited by the Spirit of his presence, to go out and show his love to others. But first, do you love him? Yes. Do you love him? Do you love him? It all comes down to love. And so here we are, accepting the promise and spreading the love. God's love flows best through broken vessels. It's when we crack that the light comes through the cracks. The love can flow. We have come to the end of our human resolve, and we know that our strength comes from somewhere else. God's love flows best from broken vessels, and it flows only into open hearts when we are cut to the heart by the reconsidering of ourselves, by the coming to the end of who we are apart from God. That is where he does his best work. It's where his love flows in, and it's through the cracks that it flows out. Will you pray with me? God, our loving Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, for the amazing ways in which you reset us in life, that you cause us to reconsider who we are as you wash us from all those things that separate us from you. And then you fill us with your very presence, that while we do not deserve that gift, it is the gift that gives us strength and life and hope eternal. And so, Lord, we thank you for all of it. And as we approach your table today, we ask that you would set the bread and wine apart from their common use and use them as a way to reset who we are, to renew our faith, to remind us that you love us and that you call us to love you. Lord, we pray that you would be at work through our coming to your table, that we could taste again of your grace and be renewed in the knowledge of who you are and what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, when he had given thanks, he took bread, and he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the wine. He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And of course, the whole point of this table is that all of God's judgment and wrath against our sin was taken by Christ on the cross. And we are drawn back to that grace, to that truth, to the power of that sacrifice at this table that God has set before you. It is important for me to remind you, this is not Hope Church's table. This is the table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is open to all of those souls for whom he has died to redeem them from their sins. So when you are ready, you are invited to come forward and come to either side. We have gluten-free wafers, and then you'll have a choice between fermented wine and unfermented grape juice as you partake of the Lord's table today. So when you are ready, please come forward and partake. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder. Before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings and full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." Lord, we thank you for this table where you call us together from our varied backgrounds into one grace poured out for us by your Son. We are grateful now. We are grateful forever. We love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and sing one last song with us. If the Spirit moves you to clap, this is a 2-4 song.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to keep reminding you all of that. All right. Clap with the snare drum.
We got sinners drain. In this one request agree, Spirit, make us more like Thee. Souls redeem, Your voices raise, see Your dear Redeemer's grace. Worthy Thou of love and life, King of saints, incarnate God. Souls redeem, Your voices raise, see Your dear Redeemer's grace. Worthy Thou of love and life, King of saints, incarnate
that. All right. So if everything goes according to plan, it should get really dark tomorrow in the middle of the day. Don't panic. I mean, maybe you should panic, but I think it's predictable. It would be great if he just came back in the middle of that and just got us out of here. That'd be fine.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
But I'm not predicting anything. I don't want to be stoned to death if I'm wrong. So right, you would be. So therefore I'm not predicting anything. But you think about just this beautiful universe and all that is within it was created for a reason. And you, your soul, your heart, your life, yourself, is an important part of that reason. God had you in mind when He spread out the stars. When He created everything that is, He created it because He is love. Love pre-existed this universe, and it will outlast everything. And you are called into that love to be the object of God's affection. He's crazy about you. And He wants you to take with you from this place into that sometimes dark world His blessing. That these ancient words would be fresh and alive in your hearts. That they would go with you from this place and give shape to who you are and to how you relate to God, to others, and even to yourself. That you would be renewed in these words every day. Will you open your hearts and receive the blessing of our Lord? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May you go in His peace.